John chapter 14, we're going to head there again. John chapter 14, and we read that together earlier. Would you stand with me one more time? And we're going to read a portion of that scripture just as a reminder. I love the way Jesus starts this passage to his disciples. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, look, he says, guys, he said, would you quit worrying? Would you quit fretting? Would you quit all the worry about today and tomorrow? He said, you believe in God, believe in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Who said that? Do you believe that? Listen, if you believe one part of this, you need to believe every part of this. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he said, and if I go, and he did go, and he has begun preparation. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, what good would it be unless we get to go there? He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. He says, I'm going to come get you so that where I am, there you may be also. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your preparation. Thank you for your promise. And God, help us to hold it close and dear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? I love the Christmas story, don't you? We still got the Christmas decorations up, some of them. Some folks take them down early and some folks leave them up until next December. I love the Christmas story as we talk about the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know, as wonderful as the Christmas story is about the coming of Jesus, it's incomplete without the second half. It's incomplete without the second coming of Christ. You see, Christianity had an historical incarnation, and Christianity is going to have its historical consummation. It's going to come to fruition, folks. Jesus didn't just come and say, well, y'all have fun. He said, I've got a plan. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare it, I'm going to come again so that where I am there, change it to I. So that where I am there, yeah. Salvation was the purpose for Christ's first coming, was it not? He became the Lamb of God. We've talked about that even just last week. Salvation is the purpose for Jesus' first coming. But again, it would be incomplete without Christ's coming again. That's what we're going to look at today. The second coming of Christ is the glorious event that will bring to fruition all of the benefits and the blessings of salvation. Now, I don't know about you, but when it comes time for the benefits and the blessing, I want to be in line. Have you noticed that some people, when you have a dinner on the grounds, they go to the dessert table first? Do you know why? Because the pecan pie goes quick. Just like that. So they look for that sweet blessing right up front. If we can figure that out as human people and on this earth, surely we can figure it out for spiritual eternity, right? Don't you know that God's word reminds us that Jesus is coming again? His word gives us at least 8 answers, 8 reasons, if you will, that he's coming again. I'm going to fly through them pretty quick, so hang on. There are no blanks in your bulletin, so don't worry about trying to follow along in the bulletin. Just hang on for the ride, would you? First and foremost, we are reminded Jesus is coming again. That's his promise. He told us he was. Verses 2 and 3 of John chapter 14 says, I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to come again so that we can be together. Jesus Christ returned to heaven from earth. Why? To prepare a place for his people. Why would Jesus go to prepare a place for his people? Because our Lord is going to come to take us with him. Why in the world would he prepare a place that's going to be empty? He's going to get us and bring us home with him. He's going to gather his people to him. First, he's going to resurrect all those who have gone before. In other words, what the Bible calls the righteous dead. What is the righteous dead? It's not a music group. Yeah, they're just dead, right? The righteous dead is all those who accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or those who before Jesus were made righteous by their faith in God to follow what God told them to do. And he says all of those who have gone before, when he returns, when the sky breaks open and Jesus comes back, all the dead will rise first. And they're going to meet him in the sky. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Scripture tells us this. Second, he's going to take up then all the righteous living. First the righteous dead, then the righteous living. So who are the righteous living? If we're still around and we believe in Jesus Christ, that's you. All those who are alive and living on earth at the time of his coming that have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, according to God's word and according to his covenant. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. From that day forward and forever. We sang some cool songs today about heaven. We sang Heaven Came Down. There's a lot of great songs about heaven and a lot of great songs about Jesus coming back. Amen. We're going to sing another one of my favorites at the invitation and closing time. We sang another song called Glorious Day. There's one called In the Sweet By and By. There's another one that says, Oh, Happy Day. Well, don't make fun of the preacher. I can't dance, but I can sing. It might not be on tune, but I sing to my drummer, okay? All right. And how about this one? When the roll is called up yonder. There's a lot of great songs singing about heaven, right? How about this one? When we all get to heaven. How about this one? Oh, that will be glory for me. Some of you too young to remember that one. And how about this one? Some glad morning when this life is over. Where are you going if you fly away? Do you have a destination? You know, on every ticket you purchase today, there has to be some place that the plane is stopping or the bus is stopping or the train is stopping. Supposed to be. He is coming. He is coming to claim his own. And secondly, he's not just coming to claim his own, but he is coming again to judge. And folks, he's going to judge the righteous and the unrighteous. Every person is going to be judged. The Bible makes it clear that Christ is coming to judge. His coming will be glory for the believer. Because Jesus is going to say, I'm judging your life, and it's covered by my blood. Come on in. And another, he say, I'm going to judge your life, and I don't know you. Depart from me. So you see, it's going to be glory for the believer and disaster for the unsaved person. 2 Thessalonians, again, 1 chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. In other words, take comfort. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven and with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of our Lord and from the glory of his power. In other words, folks, Those who are acting in accordance with this world and with Satan, unfortunately, they're going to get theirs. Now, there's a time that we tell people, well, I hope he gets his. Listen, you know, I hope nobody really gets theirs. I hope that every one of us can, by grace, receive redemption through Jesus Christ. Amen. But there's a way to get there, and it's only by God's grace. When our Lord comes again, every person, every individual will have to give an account for his or her life. God's word says so. In one of the last things Jesus said that's recorded of him, it's revealed in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, and it says, "Behold," Jesus says this, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." Doesn't that sound encouraging? To give every man according as his work shall be. Jesus is coming to judge, and he's going to be judging our lives. Third thing is, Jesus is coming again to reward the righteous. He's going to bring a reward of it's going to be bad for some and great for others. But Jesus is coming again to reward the righteous, and it's going to be a great reward. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, the righteous will be rewarded for their faithfulness. Isn't that great to know? You know, there are so many times in this world that people do a great job, whether it's at work or at home or in the church, whatever, and then some of us come along and we get the glory for it when somebody else did all the work. I've had people say, "Wow, this is great, and that's great." And I just say, "Well, thank you, bless your heart." You know, and they don't see all the people in the background who do the real work. But in that day, the Lord's going to say, "I saw you when. I saw when you gave. I saw when you sacrificed. I saw when you were obedient. When nobody else saw, I saw." And he's going to reward those who are faithful. He will send his angels out, the scripture says. And I love the way that Revelation is, to the four corners of the earth. Does the earth have corners? So literally to the very introspective, tiny places God's going to go. He's going to send his angels, and they're going to gather up all of his elect, those who know him. And it says that the redeemed are going to get a new suit. Going to be a robe of white fitted by the Lord's angels. We're going to be fitted with robes of white. We're going to wear them for eternity. Crowns will be placed on the head of those who are to be rewarded for their faithfulness, the things that they do on behalf of the Lord and his kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 says, "The redeemed will enter Christ's kingdom where nothing can ever molest or make afraid or cause unhappiness." Nothing will be able to cause unhappiness. When the chief shepherd appears, his people will receive crowns of glory that do not fade. Let's get in line now. Jesus is coming again to reward his righteous. The fourth thing, dear friends, is that Jesus is coming again, not just to reward the righteous, not just to judge, but he's going to judge, and the scripture says that he will reject unbelievers. The second coming of Christ is going to be quite tragic for those who reject Christ Jesus as Savior and Lord. It's going to be a devastating time for those who are not redeemed. For as it's recorded in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 through 46, it says, Jesus is going to tell them, he's going to say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Now, I want you to note that. Let me read this again. "Depart from me," Matthew chapter 5, verse 41. "Depart from me," listen careful, I'm going to have a quiz here. "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Stop. where, or should I say, for whom was hell prepared? It was not prepared for man. Somebody says, well, why would God send, if he was really loving, why would he send anybody to hell? Let me tell you, God sends nobody to hell. They choose it because they reject God's word. He said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Those who have refused the mercy of God, those who have turned away from his truth, those who have trampled on his law, those who have neglected his church, not the building, but the church, those who have persecuted his people, those who have despised his grace will meet their eternal fate at Jesus Christ's second coming. There's going to be a time where at that point they are condemned. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 through 13 says this, seeing then that all these things shall... I nearly went on too far. The fifth thing, here we go. I get excited when I start getting to the good stuff. Jesus is coming again to make some incredible changes to the earth. Cosmic changes, the scripture says. There are several Bible passages that speak of the cosmic changes, literally, of all that is created. And it's going to change at Christ's coming. Now, you can read about this in Romans chapter 8. You can read about this in Revelation chapter 21. And there's other scriptures as well that allude to it. But listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and following, when Peter asked this. He said, seeing then all these things shall be dissolved. What things? He's talking about this, everything you see. All these things that you're looking at right now, this world, is going to be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? He said, seeing how all this, all the stuff that we want to save up, all the stuff that we want to hang on to, since it's all going to be dissolved, he's saying, what kind of person ought we really ought to be? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth the righteous God. Wow. You see, you know why it's got to be redone? God made it perfect in the beginning, amen? You remember what God's word says? It says, and God created the heavens and the earth, and he made them all perfect, and then he created Adam, then he created Eve, and Adam and Eve rejected the word of God. And because of that, the earth was cursed because of Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. But folks, we have seen not only seen the degradation of the world since then and all the hardship of it, but at Christ's return, the scripture says that the harmony and the beauty of this earth is going to be restored by the Creator. It's all going to be made right. In other words, the second Adam will undo the destructive works of the first Adam. Amen? And there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Six. Run out of hands. Jesus is coming again to usher in the eternal kingdom of God. At the second coming of Christ, the full work of redemption is going to be completed. The full work. You see, that's when Jesus is going to come and get those that have received him, and he's going to prepare the way for us to be in heaven with him forever. Forever. And then Jesus is going to give the kingdom that he has redeemed back to the Father. You see, there are some offerings that just are not very good. Have you ever made an omelet and dropped a eggshell in it and left it in there and seen the surprise on the face when they got it? Or how about this one? You're making an omelet, And you're making some for the whole family, and you crack an egg, and you crack an egg, and you crack an egg, and you crack. You've got a half dozen in there, and then you crack one more, and whoa! You get a bad egg. That's where the term comes from. Stinky, rotten, sulfurous, rotten egg. And you've got all these eggs in there. That's why you break them and put them in a cup, right? One individually? I never did. All right. You got this nasty egg, and you know, that's six eggs and one bad one. I get my spoon and I get most of it out. You think it's going to be acceptable? Would you eat it? You think that some of our offerings up to God kind of like that? Oh, there's some great things in there, but there's some things that really needed to be expunged. Jesus is coming again to usher in his eternal kingdom. And when it's completed by Christ, when Jesus comes back and his full redemption is done and he covers the people of God with his blood, it's going to be clean. You know, let's look at this. What if you had a record book of all your sin? You know, there is one. And when Jesus looks down at you, and let's just say your hand represents you, God looks down at you and he sees you and all of your purity when you're born, and he loves you so much. And then we begin to sin, and God still loves you so much, but all he sees is this record book of your sin and every sin. You know, first of all, your book would probably be a lot bigger than this one. All of ours would be pretty big, wouldn't it? And when God tries to see us, he can't see us because we're covered with sin. But the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself in redemption for us. And he took upon himself the iniquity of us all. Guess what that does? Do you get it? God can't see us. We're covered with sin. But Jesus, God's Son, died on the cross, took our sin from us, and opened a way for us to come to God. Jesus, when he comes back to the Father with us, we're going to be covered. And when Jesus gives the kingdom back to the Father, it's going to be acceptable to him. 1 Corinthians 15:24 says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, earthly power. He's going to put down all that the earth thought was grand and great, and he's going to lift up to the Father the redeemed of the Lamb. Jesus is going to come again, and he's also going to manifest his glory. That's number 7. 1 Timothy 6:13 says that Paul said, I urge you in the sight of God who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, he's the only one that can give it, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Jesus is going to come back, and he's not just going to receive the glory from us. He is going to manifest glory. Well, many times throughout the Word, in the New Testament, You see where Jesus is glorified. John 17, 5 tells us that Jesus Christ was glorified when he had been with the Father. It even tells us that he was glorified when he had been with the Father, even before the world was. He was glorified then, he's glorified now. John chapter 12, 23 tells us that Christ has been glorified in his death. Acts chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 1 declared in the resurrection of Jesus Christ that God has glorified his Son. Two different times it says the exact same thing. Christ is glorified in his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3 says that even now Christ Jesus' body is glorified. John chapter 16 verse 14, he's glorified by the Holy Spirit. John 17 verse 10, he is glorified in the redeemed. Did anybody hear that one? This is the one you get to participate in. You can add glorification to God by being obedient to his word to receive him. Every person that is saved through God's plan of salvation brings honor and glory to the Son of God. Every person. You can glorify God by being obedient to him, by receiving him. Folks, man, makes me want to sing all those songs we talked about earlier. Happy day. And the last one of today. Jesus is coming again to reign forever and forever. You know, the first time Jesus came, he came as a baby. He was put in a lowly manger. He was surrounded by animals. But when he comes again, he's not coming as a lowly child. He's coming as King of Kings. He's coming as Lord of Lords. And he is going to reign forever and forever and forever. Revelation 19, verse 11 and 16 says, I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, and that name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Folks, that's our Jesus. The kingdom over which our Lord Jesus Christ will reign is an everlasting kingdom. Do you remember when Gabriel came to Mary before Jesus was born, before she even became with child with Jesus? Luke chapter 1, verse 33, it says that Gabriel told Mary, he says, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be what? No end. Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 says, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and it shall consume all other kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. You see, the first coming of Jesus brought us hope. It brought us salvation through the priceless, pure Lamb of God. But folks, his coming again is our blessed hope, because it is the fulfilling of our time and our eternity with Jesus in heaven. You know, the more I think about his coming again, the more I think about Revelation chapter 22, when John cried out, he said, oh, come, Lord Jesus, come soon. Did you read that? You know, perhaps beginning the new year would be a good time to start reading a little in Revelation again. Start there, and if you just don't know where to start, start at the beginning. But if you want to get started in some of the even exciting parts, start at chapter 14. Just start reading. And I tell you what, if that don't light your fire, as the old man said, your wood is wet. Jesus is coming again because he told us that he's going to claim us as his own. Amen? He's coming again to judge all. He's coming again to reward the righteous. He's coming again to reject unbelievers. He's coming again to make changes to this earth. He's coming again to usher in an eternal kingdom of Christ, in Christ, and of God. And Jesus is coming again to manifest his glory, and he's coming to reign forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. So, I just want to remind you of this. Did you know that in the year of 2023, you have been in church on every Sunday? But dear friends, it's not about attendance. It's about your heart. It's about, are you obedient to the Savior, to the King of Kings? Yes, obedience helps us. Attendance together is obedience, and it directs us to Him. But you know what? As the old saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know what I'm hoping and praying? Is that by being in church, it puts enough salt in your oats that it makes you really thirsty. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, we are so grateful for your Son. Thank you, Lord, that he is coming again. We celebrate his birth, but Father, we celebrate his return. God, help us to be ready. Lord, as the scripture said, everything here is going to be dissolved and burned away. It's going to be changed. How then ought we to be living in respect to his return? Help us, Lord, to be about your business, to serve you as we should, and to be excited about your return. We praise your name, Father. Thank you for the promise in your word that our Jesus is not going to leave us here. You're coming to get us.